Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Aaron Judge flies out to San Diego for that last ditch effort by the Padres, but it certainly seemed like in his heart, he was hoping that whatever the last number was, it was going to be the Yankees number. And that's where he ends up.
Yeah. And that seems to be the case now as we go back and look at it, and it makes sense. You know, they were the favorites all along. You know, an iconic Yankee is not going to want to leave. Obviously Jeter, there was no chance Jeter was ever going to leave. So he was always in a tough bargaining spot. Here, there was some chance. Some people said, well, the hometown team, the Giants, they could pay a little bit more money. But, you know, the Yankee Stadium is the best ballpark for him. He's the legacy. He's going to be in Monument Park. He's going to be a Hall of Fame Yankee. It's good for him for the marketing. It's certainly good for the Yankees. And, I don't like to give out too much credit. I get your point, but he did take less money to go to New York. And, they have a better chance to win, too. And San Francisco's done some great stuff, obviously. They now have gotten Correa. They added Haniger. They've added a couple pitchers, obviously Stripling, Manaea. They were working on Rodon still, I believe, even after that. So they're putting in a yeoman's effort. Give them incredible credit, but they're coming from a position of a 500 team to the Yankees, who are a 99-win team. I mean, a lot of that was Judge's credit, but they did win 99 games. So, it was going to be a lot to give up to go to San Francisco.
I saw a clip, I think it was last year, last offseason, CeCe Sabathia was talking to Rodon after he had signed with the Giants, and he was telling him how much he had hoped that he would have signed with the Yankees. He said he would have fit perfectly. Well, it looks like CeCe's going to get his wish because Carlos Rodon signs with the Yankees, 6 years, $162 million. Where was his market at? I mean, clearly there were some teams, more than one team in on him. But he goes to the Yankees.
Well, I think the Yankees were the team that he wanted to go to, and I think the Yankees felt that. They still paid him a good rate. Obviously, it's a very good deal. Go back 2 years ago, and I can recall that Rodon got a $3 million deal to go back to the White Sox. So he's come a long way in 2 years. And remember, in 2021, he was not healthy the whole year. Part of the year, he was not healthy. He was fantastic in 2021, got Cy Young votes, but did not pile up the innings. Last year, he really took a step forward, 178 innings, 237 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts
for
nine. He set himself up for this big deal, and he was going to get it somewhere. I think the Yankees were willing to go longer than some other teams. That 6 year is kind of what got it done. I think he had a lot of opportunities for shorter-term deals with opt-outs, with higher AAVs. You know, the teams that you heard were in it were the Cardinals, the Twins. I still think the Giants were in it. Not positive there, but, I'm sure there were a number of teams looking around because, I mean, at this point, he was clearly the best pitcher left. Now it's Nate Eovaldi. Who should do well, but he also has that qualifying offer like Rodon had, and that it's a little bit of a fight. Unless you're Aaron Judge or one of these superstar shortstops, it does affect your market to a degree. So we'll see how Nate Eovaldi does, but I think that Rodon got the years, and he got the team that he wanted, and another good deal for him. None of these players have been left holding the bag at this point.
No.
You know,
no.
Bassett did well with his, even with a qualifying offer, getting over $21 million a year. So I got to think Ovaldi's going to be in that category as well, although it's a fight when you have that qualifying offer.
Do you think where do you think the Roldan signing puts the Yankees in terms of their prospects for next season? Because, I mean, Judge was already a Yankee last year. So, and listen, and, you know, 62, 63, you know, those homers are going to be – it's going to be tough to get to that again.
Yeah,
where does Rodon put this Yankee ball club?
Well, I think it's huge for them. I mean, he fits in as their number two starter. They have a great playoff rotation now. I mean, they were way, way behind Houston last year in terms of the pitching.
Everybody was.
I mean, everybody was. Right, right. Christian Javier was what? He was like a kind of a swingman almost.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't really in the rotation.
Right.
And he almost no-hit everybody. You know, he had the lowest batting average against. Valdez was incredible. They had the Cy Young winner with Verlander, who they've lost. So I think the Yankees have closed that gap. Because Houston lost Verlander, and they gained Rodon, who fits in there right between Cole and Cortez. Severino's a good four starter. Montas, if he gets healthy and adjusts to New York, Herman, they're in good spot right now. They have a terrific playoff rotation, and if they don't do a little bit better, then get swept in the in that round by Houston this year, Yankee fans aren't going to be too happy. But you were right to add them and how their winners, I did my winners column and I had San Diego, the Mets, and Philly. I did it yesterday. If I did it again, I'd have to put the Yankees in there because they did bring back Rizzo and Judge, and now they've added Rodon.
Right.
So they're doing great.
Let's slide to the other team in New York. Steve Cohen continuing to crack that checkbook open. He brings Verlander in on a shorter deal, bigger AAV, 2 years, $86 million. Brandon Nimmo, who it seemed like is a fan favorite. They wanted him back. He's back on a gigantic deal, 8 years, $162 million. I don't know where this puts them. I don't know if this puts the Mets. I mean, you lost DeGrom, you add Verlander, so you can call that a wash. But they clearly lack something come playoff time last year. I know this team won 100 games, but it still seems like they're missing something on this roster.
I can understand where you're coming from on that. Just a couple points. You know, I know people say that's a wash, and certainly DeGrom is younger, and maybe I'm the greatest. DeGrom is obviously the best talent among the pitchers. I'm looked at as the DeGrom detractor. He's led the league in only MRIs the last couple of years. He's got 150 innings over 2 years, and good for him that he got a 5-year deal for $185 million, and people are dreaming on what could be if he stays healthy. He is the most talented. I get it. To me, taking Verlander is probably an upgrade. He did win the Cy Young last year. He's won three. I know he's 39, so I do think they moved up there. It does feel like they might need a little more something in that lineup. They were kind of middle of the pack in terms of power, very reliant on Alonso, did a great job last year. The Marte injury, he got hit by a pitch, missed the last part of the regular season, and that really seemed to hurt them. So it was interesting to see at the last minute, and the Athletic reported it, was that Cohn tried to get Carlos Correa. And incredible. I mean, we don't know where San Diego's money's coming from. We don't have to guess with Steve Cohen. It's out there
Steve
in
Cohen.
Forbes, right? And he's got $17 billion. That's where they're losing money. There's no question. I believe they are actually losing money, the Mets. But as somebody told me, he could lose $200 million a year for 10 years. That's still $2 billion over time. He's got $17 billion. And I think this was the fear of a couple of the other owners who voted against him coming into the game, was that he was going to be able to, you know, really use his personal fortune and play the game that way. And, you know, me as a reporter, I give him credit. It's amazing. We see a guy, you know, Carlos Correa, had he signed him, let's say $30 million a year, he'd got given him like a 10-year, $300 million a deal, just guessing. He would have paid $30 million more for the payroll and $27 million more on tax. His tax bill would have been up to $100 million. Now, I know the Golden State Warriors are doing that, but, you know, and I'm not basketball. I really don't. But they tell me that, you know, you get one or two great players, you have a good chance to win the championship. It doesn't work 100%. That way in baseball. Anybody can win.
No, it doesn't.
It's not guaranteeing anything. And they came from a position, even though they had 101 wins, of weakness because so many free agents, Bassett, Walker, DeGrom, all the bullpen, including Diaz, you know, they were in a tough spot and would have to spend to stay in place. And that's what they've done. Now they've added Narvaez as the catcher, too. And who knows what else they may do. But, you know, they brought back a very, very good team. But, you know, they're in a fight with the Braves and the Phillies in that division, despite the highest payroll and the biggest tax bill and all that. And all the credit goes to Steve Cohen. But still going to be a tough one for them in that division.
I have a suggestion for the owners that didn't want Steve Cohen to join. I think they should sell their teams. I really believe that. After watching Peter Seidler do his thing here in San Diego for the past, right, I don't know, 5-6 years, I don't think there are very many excuses out there. It doesn't have to last. It doesn't have to last forever, in my opinion. Right. You just got to give the fans something to hold on to,
right,
for a 3-4 year span. And okay, and you could start over after that. But yeah, Steve Cohen, I think owners like that are good for the game. It's really how I think fans imagine it should be. Owner takes over. He puts some money into the team. They go out. They compete. Right. And you're in it every year versus the teams that punt from the very beginning. From the offseason on, right, they punt. I prefer owners like Steve Cohen. Yeah. They don't have to necessarily have $17 billion, but at least go out there and try.
Well, I'm with you. And, you know, I mean, that's why I give Seidler extra credit. He's obviously a very successful man, but as far as we know, does not have anything close to $17 billion. I'm not ripping him or anything like that. I would say it about everybody in the country, but about probably 20 people.
Right.
You know, he's private equity, but, you know, I think most of the owners have up to $1 billion or maybe up to $2 billion, but it is quite an advantage to have 10 times more money or 20 times more money than all the other owners. And, you know, I give Cohen credit for using that power. I don't say it's a detract from or a detriment for him, but I give him credit. John Middleton, same thing in Philadelphia, and certainly Seidler. But, you know, I can't expect there's going to be a lot of people like Seidler. I don't think there's many like Cohen in the first place who are willing to spend their personal fortune, but
there's one like Cohen, and that's him.
Right. And I don't think anybody's going to be like Seidler who's going to – I mean, they've done a great job with revenue. They've done a great job with that team. There's no football team in town. And everybody's excited, but they have a long-term TV deal that's set. They're not going to get any more out of that. They almost sold out last year. They'll probably sell out this year. They're you know, certainly, you know, $20-30 million more or something like that they can get out of the extra tickets this year, but – yeah, I haven't figured out how they're paying for this, really. I mean, I really haven't. When you figure it out, let me know.
I will. I'll let you know. All right, let's move to our last topic of the show. There's one remaining free agent out there, Dansby Swanson. His market is, as you said, is starting to shape up pretty well. Sometimes being patient can be a benefit. Sometimes it can be a detriment. It seems to be working in Dansby Swanson's favor, at least from what we were reading.
Well, I got to say the guys who went early didn't lose anything either. So it was no negative to go early and sign at the meetings and get the $280 million and the $300 million. And now the $350 million. So, you know, Swanson's the fourth guy. He's, I think, a star. He had a great year last year. He might have had the best year of the four. His track record isn't quite what the other three are, but you know, at this point, you're probably going to get a $200 million or more the way things have worked out for him. And, you know, I know the Braves are still monitoring. Be interesting to see them pay him, you know, so much more than they've paid everybody else. You know, they might do it. They might stick with Grissom. They're a stealthy team. We don't know. Cubs certainly are interested. The Dodgers are still at least monitoring. You know, the Twins have been connected, and I think the Red Sox at this point are seriously considering. So those are the teams. I mean, you never know in free agency who may jump in, but that's four or five teams and one great shortstop left. There are other shortstops who can help, Iglesias, Andrus, Simmons. But, I mean, there's one star player in his prime, and Swanson's going to get a big deal. That's all I can say. I can't tell you which team, but it's going to get a big deal.
What do you think about the Cubs? Do you think they could be a team in on him?
Oh, yeah. They're in on him. They clearly are. I they were in on Correa, but they weren't going to go to 350. I felt all along that was my prediction for him from the start was the Cubs. It's going to be a stretch for them because I don't think they certainly don't want to spend $300 million. I don't know if they want to spend $200 million for anybody either. So not sure. You know, if the Red Sox really get serious, you know, they could probably take them the way things are going. But
it's interesting because the Braves have been able to get all of their homegrown guys to sign early, with the exception of Matt Olson, who came in a trade. Freeman, who was a homegrown guy, elected not to. Swanson was not a homegrown guy. He came from Arizona. And yep. You wonder what's in the water in that organization because clearly Harris, Albies, Acuna, Strider, they were more than willing to take the under market deal, I would think most people would say at the time.
Right.
And they seem happy, but Swanson,
Riley. Did you say Riley?
Riley's another one. Swanson's been a little bit different for him.
Yeah. And Riley, I get because he got $212 million. Acuna, even though at the time it was some record for zero plus players or whatever, you know, I think Eloy Jimenez had gone over the others and he went over Eloy Jimenez, but with the options, to me, that was the regrettable one, was Acuna. Now, he got hurt, and he was only average last year. He looked like he was going to be – and I still think he's going to regain it and be a superstar. You don't know.
That's a good point.
You know, there's things happen along the way. Obviously, the Padres signed Tatis early, and he looked like the best player in the game, and things happen. It's a long road, so you don't know.
That is the risk.
Yeah, you don't know. But Acuna at the time – and I get it. Some guys want the security. I think he was the guy who had taken one of those loans that Tatis had. So I get it. The Braves get great deals. You know, they wanted to get a great deal with Freeman. The Dodgers ended up getting the great deal with Freeman. And they've gotten great deals with all of their guys. Riley, I think, did pretty well, $212 million. But they're good at getting deals. So at this point, Swanson does not look like he's going to be a deal. They're going to have to step out to get Swanson, even if he's from Georgia. He just got married in Georgia. You know, the Cubs are an attractive team, even though they're not a winning team yet. The Red Sox, there's definite competition. You know, and Swanson's has been pointed out many times is now his wife. They just got married last weekend. Mallory Pugh is a soccer star for the Chicago Red Stars, right? And the U.S. The women's team, too, she's on. So she's quite a great player. I don't know whether that makes it a lure in Chicago or not, but he's going to have options, obviously.
No doubt about it. Congratulations to the Swansons, who as you said, just got married. All right, that's going to do it for our show. We'll await the Dansby Swanson signing at some point. I know it'll go down. Sooner rather than later, but that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Big Time Baseball. You can catch us on wherever you sign or you get your podcasts at. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. for John Heyman. We'll catch you next time.